How does Jesus relate to the conclusion of everything? If life is like a spoken sentence, where is Jesus in the whole of it? Is he in the beginning or at the ending? Does Jesus ever change, or is he the cause of change? In Jesus, are there things like updates, additions, and subtractions? Just how are we to view Jesus? Those are some of the things I will address in this message, Jesus the Amen. My text is found in Revelation 3:14, the text that gives the words of Jesus himself, and they are words spoken to the churches. Here's something they are to know. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3:14. Technically, these are words spoken to the messenger of the church in Laodicea. However, at the conclusion of that message, it is written, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Revelation 3:22. This is therefore a message for all churches, all congregations who meet in the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus referred to himself as the Amen. Looking at the construction of the sentence, we see the definite article is there, both in the Greek and in the English. The Amen. That is, in this capacity, Jesus is unique. He's not a Amen, but the Amen. This is how he's to be known. It's a facet of his nature with which we are to become familiar. It is something that he is. Therefore, none of us can afford to be ignorant of what this means, for salvation makes no provision for remaining unacquainted with the person of Christ, or being ignorant of what has been revealed about him. Right here, I need to spend a little time defining the word. A word that is presented as a description of Jesus needs to be understood to some measurable degree. No person should be content to have a shallow view of a term that's applied to the Son of God. Even the Greek lexicons have a difficult time explaining the meaning of this word. In fact, the word Amen is a transliteration of the Greek word. That is, the conversion of the Greek letters to English letters, and it's not a translation of the word itself. The reason for this is that there is no English word that precisely translates this word. Therefore, the word Amen was coined, and it became the responsibility of preachers and teachers to expound its meaning more thoroughly from Scripture. I will give you the lexical meaning of this word, and it will become apparent to you why the translators did this. Thayer's Greek lexicon defines the word as having the primary meaning of firm or faithful. Freiberg's lexicon says it's a strong affirmation to emphasize that what is said is true. Some modern versions do translate the word truly, while others use the word verily. Lydell Scott's lexicon says the word emphasizes certainty, like saying, so be it. Most other lexicons provide similar meanings. Therefore, speaking from the standpoint of language, the word Amen includes the ideas of firmness, faithfulness, truth, and certainty. The irony of the situation is that every major translation, with the exception of the Living Bible, translates Revelation 3:14 as saying, the Amen. The more liberal and paraphrased Living Bible reads this way, the one who stands firm. Of the remaining 44 translations in my possession, every single one of them reads, the Amen. Of the 152 times this word is used in the New Testament Scriptures, this is the only place it's used like this, the Amen. What does Jesus mean when he makes this statement? There is a sense in which Jesus is the end of God's statement to humanity. It is written that in the final phase of the world, a phase in which we're now living, he has spoken to us exclusively through his Son, Christ the Lord. Here's what is written. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews 1:1-4. Notice what is said about the Son. First, he's the heir of all things. That is, everything will default to him, being his possession, everything. Second, he's the one who created the worlds. Third, he's the brightness of the Father's glory. That is, God is seen most clearly in him. Fourth, he's the express or precise image of God, meaning that there's no sense in which they do not think, speak, and act in strict accord. Fifth, he is the one who is maintaining everything, holding things together so they do not spin out of control. Sixth, by himself he purged our sins, taking them away. Seventh, he's been made better than the angels. That is, as a glorified man, he has been made better and obtained a better and superior name to theirs. Now, who better is there to speak to mankind than Jesus? He's the one through whom God is now speaking to humanity. If a message is said to come from God that has not been spoken by Jesus, then it's a false message. Furthermore, this is not a message that's being constantly updated or adapted to different ages. The message being delivered to men by Jesus pertains to God's eternal purpose. That's the purpose that was cast in stone before God created the world. This is not a message that's constantly updated for special generations and ages. This purpose, together with the grace that comes through it, was designed before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. What Jesus did when he was in the world and when he returned to heaven is the new thing the prophet said God would do. Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Isaiah 43:19. That was a declaration of the coming day of salvation, when the arid moral desert among men would be filled with rivers, the water of life. Jeremiah prophesied, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man." Jeremiah 31:22. That was the prophecy of the Messiah being born of a virgin and made of a woman. Redemption would, in a sense, come through a woman, which was a totally new thing. I know there are men preaching today that God is doing a new thing now, delivering new messages, giving new direction. But these men are not speaking the truth. What God has done in Christ Jesus cannot be improved upon or updated. Who would dare to affirm such a thing? It addresses the root problem of humanity, not the peripheral issues that have resulted from the problem. The problem of sin has never changed, nor has the nature of sin. Mankind has the same adversary they've always had, and their condition is fundamentally the same as it's always been. What Jesus is speaking today is precisely what he spoke to the first century people and the Middle Ages. It is the message of redemption, deliverance, reconciliation, and peace with God. Let it be clear that the message Jesus is speaking is from God the Father. God is speaking to us through his Son. That's what's been revealed. Furthermore, God is not delivering a message about politics, the economy, weather patterns, and social issues. His message does not center in the church, the family, or personal earthly advantages of health and wealth. Those who build their words around such things are not speaking for Jesus, and they've not been sent by God. This is one reason why Jesus is called the Amen. He's the end of the divine sentence. What he has declared does not and cannot change. That's precisely why he said, "My words shall not pass away." Mark 13:31. That means they'll never become obsolete or need to be updated or need to be replaced. There's no message that can effectively upstage what Jesus has said. When Jesus was upon the earth, he said many things, far more than most people imagine. However, because sin had not yet been put away, his words were largely veiled and men did not comprehend them. That's why he chose 12 apostles to be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Mark 3:14. Following his ascension into heaven, he invested them with power through the Holy Spirit. He had informed them that when the Spirit came, he would not talk about himself. Here's what he said: "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." John 16:13. The things the Spirit certainly said did not come from men, and Jesus said he would only speak what he heard. He would guide them into all truth, truth that already existed. Jesus told them the Spirit would also bring to their remembrance what he himself had said. John 14:26. He also made clear that the Spirit would primarily testify of Christ. John 15:26. Jesus would, in fact, speak through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, equipping them to deliver his message to the people. The early church picked up on this and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42. They knew that Jesus was the Amen, and there was no way to improve on what he said. His word was the last word. If he's spoken on a subject, his word is not to be compared to the words of other men, as though seeking to determine which word was the best word. Jesus is the Amen. It's precisely because Jesus is the Amen that we are said to be complete in him. That is the proclamation of Colossians 2:10, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." The truth of the matter is that you do not need anything or anyone that must be obtained from someone else. Everything that is required for both life and godliness are resident in Jesus and can be obtained by what he said, either personally or through his apostles. If that seems too difficult to receive, consider if there is a single thing we know concerning Christ's person and work that has not been declared by the prophets in prospect or the apostles in declaration and exposition. His person, character, purpose, work, present activity, and return are all clarified by the apostles. Their words were the result of the Holy Spirit testifying of Jesus to them and bringing his words to their remembrance. What they've declared of him is not merely sufficient, it makes us complete. For Jesus is the Amen. God has no word for us that does not have to do directly with Him. He has no purpose that has not been developed in Him. He has no promise that's not fulfilled in Him. However, we're living in a day of convoluted religion, when the Christian life has become more of a mystical maze than a labyrinth than a road that leads to glory. All manner of professing experts are hawking their wares through the public media, declaring that they are speaking for Christ Jesus. Some of them are delivering a word that majors on what you can have in this world. Others are declaring what you can be in this world and how you can enjoy success. There's whole congregations that major on the family, and others who deliver routines and procedures through which you're guaranteed success in the Christian life. For these people, Jesus is not the Amen, and that's why they do not speak much about Him. Somehow they've been left with the impression that you can be in Christ Jesus, live by faith in Him, and yet miss some of the blessings God has for you. It's not enough to live by faith in Christ and walk in the Spirit. It's not enough to put off the old man and put on the new man. It's not enough to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. At least they think not. They leave the people thinking that after you're reconciled to God and have peace with Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, there's some things on which you must major, and they all center on you. To these men, you're the most important person, not Jesus. The test of true relevance is if it has anything to do with you. And if a matter is perceived as not bringing some temporal advantage to you, it's not relevant or crucial. Such an approach makes men the Amen. In such a case, you're the primary consideration, and what you think you need is the most essential. You are the hub of all religious consideration. Well, who cannot see the falsity of such a view? The truth is that after all is said and done, Jesus is the Amen. He's the final word. He's the one that must define who you are, what you need, and what you must do. As the Amen, He's not only the one who provides, but the one who reveals as well. He's the one who defines, answers, and directs. If you want to be acceptable to the God before whom you'll eventually stand, sometime in your life you've got to have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind that was in Christ Jesus has also got to be in you. Is it not written, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Philippians 2:5. The mind of Christ does not have to do with feelings, sensations, and raw emotion. It rather has to do with understanding, perspective, comprehension, and discernment. It has to do with making sound judgments, having holy discretion, and seeing things the way they really are. If Jesus is the Amen, that is the way it has to be. You cannot have Jesus' view of heaven and Darwin's view of creation. You cannot see men as Jesus does and adopt the views of Sigmund Freud as well. If Jesus is really the Amen, there's no need to investigate other religions and try or rationalize which one's the best. Life does not have to be a mystery to you, not if Jesus is the Amen. There's one other facet to Jesus being the Amen, and that's the truth that is resident in and communicated by Him. If it is true that God has spoken to us through His Son, then what He has said is totally true. What is more, this truth is not to be updated, revised, or replaced. Hebrews 1:2 affirms that God has spoken to us through His Son, not is speaking. That means that the truth He speaks has not been altered or improved upon since He returned to heaven, for that is when He began speaking. If you want some fresh or new word from Jesus, you've got to adjust your thinking to reality, for under the sun nothing has really changed. The newness of the message of Jesus has never worn off or waned. It's as new today as it's ever been, and that's because Jesus is the Amen. Now there's something to think about.